Every man, they thought about everything they did, and they were looking for the most sincere deeds that they did. The third lesson, the effect of taqwa. If you have taqwa, Allah will find a way out for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you have taqwa in Allah, Allah will find a way out for you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah will reward you from doors of opportunity you never thought of. If you have taqwa. The greatest thing is taqwa. Number 4, 5, and 6. What were the three deeds that saved these men? Number 1, birr al-walidain. Righteousness towards the parents. Number 2, afaf. What is afaf? Chastity. That's close translation to it. And the third is amana, trustworthiness. And this shows the importance of these three ibadat. Birrul walidain comes second to obedience to Allah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكُمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. You worship none but Allah and you treat your family, your parents well. It came second to obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the chastity. SubhanAllah, you would find that some of the prominent figures in Islamic history, if you look in their background, with quite a few of them, you would find the story of chastity. Yusuf alayhi salam, the afaf of Yusuf. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the scholars, and we'll get into the story of Juraij. And Ibn al-Qayyim talks about the effects of chastity in his book, Al-Jawab Al-Kafi, Ala Man Sa'ala An Al-Dawa' Al-Shafi. He mentions tens of benefits of chastity, and he mentions the opposite, what would happen to a person if they are unchaste. And then trustworthiness in business, amana, when it comes to money. So these are three very important ibadat, and some of the other stories that we're going to talk about are going to come back to these three issues. Finally, number 7. Inna Allaha la yudi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah will not waste the efforts of the good doers. If you did something good, it won't be wasted. It's going to help you one day. Nothing is wasted with Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes you do something good and you don't see the results. But be assured that the results are going to appear, either in dunya or akhirah. Yusuf alayhi salam went through a miserable life. He was sold into slavery. He was imprisoned. He was accused of trying to seduce the wife of Al-Aziz. And he went through all of that, but in the end, the payoff was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tamkeen. Now, this story of Yusuf alayhi salam that we read, it seems that these events went through very fast. But it says that the time between the beginning of the fitna of Yusuf, when he was thrown in the well, that was the beginning of his fitna, up until the time he was appointed as the leader in Egypt, the span was 40 years. So it was a long journey. But Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was sitting on the throne, and his parents and brothers, the brothers who started his fitna, when they came in and they made sujood to him, Yusuf alayhi salam said, Inna Allah la yudi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah Azza wa Jal does not waste the efforts of the good doers. هذا تأويل رؤياي. This is the interpretation of my dream. It came into fruition 40 years later. It took a long time. But كل ما هو آت قريب. Whatever is coming is near. There's a saying in Arabic, كل ما هو آت قريب. Everything that is coming is near. As long as it's going to come, then it's near. روى مسلم في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بين رجل بفلات من الأرض فسمع صوتا في سحابة اسق حديقة فلان فتنحى ذلك السحاب فأفرغ ماءه في حرة فإذا شرجة من تلك الشراج قد استوعبت ذلك الماء كله فتتبع الماء فإذا رجل قائم في حديقته يحول الماء بمسحاته فقال له يا عبد الله ما اسمك؟ قال فلان للاسم الذي سمع في السحابة فقال له يا عبد الله لما تسألني عن اسمي؟ فقال إني سمعت صوتا في السحاب الذي هذا ماءه يقول اسق حديقة فلان لاسمك فما تصنع فيها فقال له يا عبد الله أما إذا قلت هذا فإني أنظر إلى ما يخرج منها فأتصدق بثلثه وآكل أنا وعيالي ثلثا وأرد فيها ثلثا. In Sahih Muslim, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that while a man was traveling in the wilderness, he heard a voice in a cloud. He heard a voice in a cloud saying, pour the rain on the farm of so-and-so. So this was an angel inside the cloud ordering the angel of the cloud to pour its rain in a particular farm, and he named the person who owns that farm. So this man, when he heard that voice, he followed the cloud. And he said that the cloud poured all of its rain in an area, Harra. Harra is a rocky volcanic plain. He said, so the rain poured and then the rain was gathered in a stream. So I followed that stream. So all of the rain was gathered in one stream. It didn't go in different areas. It gathered in one stream. So I followed that stream and I found that it's pouring its water in a farm and there was one man working in his farm. So I went to him and I told him, what's your name? So he answered, he replied, and it was the same name I heard in the cloud. Because the cloud said, go and pour it on the farm of so-and-so. This was the person. So the owner of the farm said, oh, servant of Allah, well, how come you're asking me my name? He said, I heard a voice in the cloud saying, pour the rain in the farm of so-and-so. And they mentioned your name. And this is your farm. So tell me, what do you do? So the owner of the farm said, well, if that's the case, and you're asking me, and he didn't want to tell him, but because of, due to ikhlas, he doesn't want to brag about what's happening, but he said, if you're asking me and that was the case, then I'll tell you. I planned this farm, and I split the harvest into three equal parts. One of which I give as sadaqah. Second part is food for me and my family. And the third part, I plant it again. This is a man who gives one third of his wealth in sadaqah. He does it constantly. وَخَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The best of deeds are the constant, even if they are little or small. Consistency is something that is rewarded. كَانَ أَهْلُ بَيْتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا عَمِلُوا عَمَلًا أَثْبَتُوا. The household of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم were described, if they do something, they do it constantly, consistently. So this man would consistently give one-third of his wealth in sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending rain. And the drops of those rain, his name was written on them. It goes to you. That's your rizq. Again, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you have taqwa, Allah will find a way out for you. Allah is assessing you. See, sometimes you would go through moments of time when all doors seem to be closed. You have no hope. You don't find any source of halal, so you go and sign up for a haram job. There's no halal. I didn't find any other option. Well, if you just had a little bit more patience, if you just waited a little longer, the door of halal would have opened. Because the whole point of this was to test you. Allah wanted to test your iman, and you failed. So Allah opened for you a door of haram, and that door of haram will keep on opening for you other doors of haram. And it will go down that road, and it's endless. But if you had patience, and you waited a little longer, the solution would have arrived. Because, notice the ayah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If you have taqwa, Allah will find a way out for you and will reward you from where? From areas that you expected? No. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. From areas that you never expected. So it's going to be a surprise for you. It's going to be something you never thought about. It's going to be something unexpected. And that's the test. To see for how long you will be able to persist. Just like with Bani Israel, when the sea was in front of them and Fir'aun was behind them. It was a test from Allah. Allah has promised to save them, right? Allah said, I will save you. So Allah wanted to test their belief in His promise. So Allah put them in a situation where the sea was in front of them and the army of Fir'aun was behind them. Bani Israel, they went to Musa and said, you've told us that Allah will save us. You've promised us this and that. And now what are you going to do? The sea is in front of us. Fir'aun behind us. You lied to us. And this and that. And they were accusing Musa alayhi salam. They all failed in the test. But Musa alayhi salam, even though his eyes tell him that it's impossible, you have no chance, can't fight Fir'aun and the sea is in front of us, and his ears are telling him, he's hearing all of the words of Bani Israel, so it's discouraging from both sides. His eyes and ears are telling him that there's no chance. But what is his heart telling him? Allah is with me. And the promise of Allah is with me. So Musa said it loudly and clearly. Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayhadeen. No, Allah is with me and He will guide me. And that was the end of the test. As soon as he said that, the next ayah was, فَوَحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى أَنْ اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ. We told Musa, hit the sea with your stick. The test was over. Musa and Harun passed, Banu Israel failed. And Allah will test you similarly throughout your life. Allah will put you in situations. And you have options. Whatever option you choose will determine your future. And will lead you down a different road. And Ibn al-Qayyim says, a good deed gives birth to many good deeds. And a bad deed gives birth to many bad deeds. To give you an example, let's say that you're now at home and you're contemplating whether to go to the masjid to pray jama'ah or pray at home. Let's say that you decide to go and pray in the masjid. This is one good deed, right? You made the intention to go to the masjid. Now, that one good deed will give birth to many good deeds. You'll walk to the masjid and with every step you're getting hasanat, or you're driving and you're getting hasanat. You reach to the masjid. You see some brothers, you give them salam. That's hasanat. You come in the masjid, you pray tahiyyat al-masjid. You don't get tahiyyat al-masjid at home. You get hasanat. After the salah, everybody's making dhikr, so you're going to sit along and make dhikr, even though you don't usually do that at home. So you're getting hasanat. There might be a lesson after the salah, or a khatira. You're getting hasanat. So one good deed gave birth to many good deeds. If you didn't make the decision to make that one good deed, you wouldn't get any of the ones that are following. And we could give also an example about a bad deed. It would lead down that path. Number two, the importance of sadaqah. Allah is sending this man rizq because of his sadaqah. Money is a trial. Money is a trial from Allah. It's a trial from Allah for all of you. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرْ أَمْ أَكْفُرْ. Allah wants to test me whether I will be grateful or ungrateful. So money is a test. Money is not a sign of your righteousness. Poverty and wealth is not a sign of whether a person is righteous or not. فَأَمَّا الْإِمْسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. Allah says that the human, if Allah tests him and gives him wealth, he says, Allah loves me. And if Allah takes away wealth from him, he says, Allah has humiliated me. And that's not a sign. Wealth is not a sign is not a measurement of Allah's pleasure with you. Some of the anbiya were poor. And some of the enemies of Allah were rich. So, wealth is a test from Allah for you. Now, with some people, the only reason why Allah is giving them wealth is because they are a channel in which this wealth is distributed to the needy. And there's a hadith that talks about that. That Allah gives some people wealth because so that they could give it to the needy. And the moment they withhold back, Allah will take away the wealth from them and give it to somebody else who will give it to the needy. And with some people, Allah gives them wealth as a trial for them to add to their deviance. This man Allah was giving him so that he would provide for the needy. Therefore, when there was no rain in the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent rain to him. Because his sadaqah is going to people who deserve it. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he bought his seat in Jannah with money. And it's not as literal as that, because everything that Allah gives us is a blessing of Allah. And Jannah is not something that is a payback for us, it is a fadl from Allah. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fundraising for the Ghazwa of Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the pulpit and asked for donations. And that year was a year of difficulty, it was a year of poverty. And it was right before the harvest. See, the people make money after the harvest. This was right before the harvest. So the people were at their lowest level. And that is when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to go out in Tabuk. So he was fundraising. And people didn't have a lot of money. So nobody gave. They were already drained at that moment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still asking for more because it wasn't enough. Who came forward? Uthman ibn Affan. He brought a whole sack of gold coins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually no, in the beginning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for donations, so Uthman ibn Affan donated camels along with the saddle and everything. All the equipment that is needed for the soldier. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for more, so he brought some horses. Rasulullah asked for more, nobody stood up. Uthman ibn Affan donated some silver coins. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for more. Uthman ibn Affan went and brought a whole sack of gold coins and poured it on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tossing these coins over and over, and he was saying, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَان مَا فَعَلَ بَعْدِ الْيَوْمِ. Whatever Uthman does after this day, it won't harm him. Whatever Uthman would do after this day won't harm him. And he was repeating that again and again while he was tossing the coins. Meaning that Uthman ibn Affan is granted Jannah, granted forgiveness, and whatever he does after this day, it wouldn't harm his position. He's granted the place in Jannah. It's reserved for him. It will never be taken away. And that was the status that was given to Uthman ibn Affan because he passed in the test of wealth. Similar can be said about Zubair ibn Awam and Abdurrahman ibn Awf and the other wealthy Sahaba radiallahu anhum. طيب إن شاء الله تعالى I think that's enough for tonight. We'll continue إن شاء الله تعالى tomorrow with some other stories from the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you have any questions before we close. Yes. I didn't say there will never be peace, but if we, and the hadith doesn't say that. The hadith doesn't say if there will be, it doesn't approve or disapprove if there's going to be peace between the Muslims and the Jews or not. But if we look at history, the Muslims had an uneasy relationship with the Jews since the beginning. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into Medina, he signed a pact with them. And they were given status of citizens of the Islamic State, even though they were different in religion. They were given privileges that were not given to the Arab pagan worshippers, since they were Ahl Kitab. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying from the beginning to establish a good relationship with the Jews of Medina, but it never worked out. Banu Qaynuqa betrayed the terms of the contract by abusing the Muslim woman who went into their market. Banu Nadir, same thing. And then Banu Qaynuqa, after the Ghazwa of Khandaq, they collaborated with the enemy, Quraysh, Hawazin, and Thaqif. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam executed all of their men and taken all of their wealth. And since then, there have been some moments when the relationship improves. Like, for example, in Spain, in Al-Andalus, the Muslims, Christians, and Jews did coexist for some time. But now we find that, again, the relationship is strained. If we compare between the Yahud and the Nasara, we find that with the Christians, it was easier for them to accept the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to embrace Islam. So you find that the parts of the Ummah that were originally Christian is huge. Egypt was Christian, they embraced Islam. Syria was Christian, they embraced Islam. All of North Africa was Christian and embraced Islam. Palestine, Jordan, Turkey, the land of Azerbaijan and Armenia, Eastern Europe, parts of Southern Europe, Albania. However, with the Yahud, it was always a fringe group among them that accepted the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Salam and Mukhayriq and others. So the relationship has not been that well. For the future, well, there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim that says that the Muslims will fight with al-Yahud on the river of Jordan. The narrator of hadith said that up to that day, and I never knew what Jordan was. And the Muslims will defeat al-Yahud. Now, for a long period of time, that hadith was difficult to understand because Palestine was Muslim. So now we're edging towards the final signs of the Day of Judgment since the Yahud established and created a state in Palestine. And that hadith is sahih, and it's in Sahih Muslim. Tawassul through the dead is haram. For example, you go to a grave of a righteous man who was righteous,
And you ask Allah through that man. That is a form of tawassul that is haram.
But if I ask you, if my business is not doing very good, and I ask you to pray to Allah.
That's not tawassul. Because you're asking me to make dua for you. Or I'm asking you to make dua for me. Tawassul is if I say, oh Allah, what's your name?
Abdul Aziz.
Oh Allah, Abdul Aziz is a righteous man, so oh Allah, make my business well because of Abdul Aziz. That is a tawassul that is not allowed. But if I ask you to make dua for me, and you're making the dua directly, that's not tawassul, that's fine. And Rasulullah, when he was greeting Umar ibn al-Khattab on a travel, he said, لَا تَنْسَانَ مِنْ صَالِحْ دُعَاكَ. Don't forget me in your dua. Rasulullah is asking Umar to make dua for him. رضي الله عنه. I don't recall. Anything else? طيب إن شاء الله صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك